Tonight we as a church will be observing the Lord's Supper. The Bible just says, as oft as you do this. The Bible does not say a specific amount of time that we observe the Lord's Supper, how often, every week, month, year, day. It does not say, it just says, as oft as you do this. So I believe it's important that we as a church understand that at times, and I guess I just ask for your prayers on that, that as the Lord lays it upon the heart, that it's a time that we need to stop, reflect, remember, that we would do that. I believe if we observe the Lord's Supper every week, we would become very accustomed to it and not think much of it. Sadly, like we do with singing His praises and other things, if we did not have it, you know, say once every 2 years or 3 years, we would forget. And when I say we would forget, I don't mean that we would forget our salvation. All right, you understand what I mean there. I mean that we just lose sight of what a precious redemption we have. And what it cost so that we could be saved. I want you to look here with me, please, in Luke chapter 22. If you're able to, let's stand as we read just a couple of verses, then we'll be back seated. In Luke 22 and in verse number 19. Luke 22:19 says this, "And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Turn over to 1 Corinthians now in chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians in chapter number 11. This is an example in scriptures of a church keeping the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. You can see that skimming through in verse number 2. "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you." Look at verse number 17. "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together." Now they were doing some things wrong. So Paul was going to address the problems and some of their manners in which they were doing this. But it's important to note that the church was to keep the ordinances. It was when they were come together. See in verse 18, "First of all, when ye come together in the church." And then you get down here where I want to read in verse number 24. It says, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd be with our service now. I pray that, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, this is a precious time for our church, and Lord, thank you, Lord, for each and everyone here tonight. Lord, if there be anyone here tonight lost, I pray tonight they'd be saved. Lord, I pray that, Lord, every believer tonight would be encouraged in the importance of the table tonight. I pray that, Lord, you would use these words. Please use me. Lord, sometimes you just want to run and hide because you feel unworthy. Lord, I just pray now you'd enable. Lord, I pray that you'd use this service in ways that only you can. I love you. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I was doing some research for the message tonight, and I don't even know how I got here, but I came to a webpage that gave some amazing religious facts. This is a a true, documented facts that they were giving, and they gave all the resources. Listen to, this is what I wrote down. The one thing that stood out to me is this. Listen closely. According to their research, 72% of ministers interviewed expressed varying degrees of doubt that God actually spoke the world into existence according to the biblical account. 72% of ministers expressed varying degrees of doubt that God actually spoke this world into creation, like the Bible says. It went on to say that that led their results, and they're not a Christian organization, to an even higher percentage of ministers doubting the virgin birth and the atonement. This world's in sad shape. Now I hope, and I like to think, that these weren't independent Baptists that they were interviewing. The term minister can go a whole lot of different directions, if you know what I mean, alright? I'd venture to say, I really do, that if you interviewed independent Baptists, you would not get 72% that would express doubt that God spoke the world into existence. But I'm not naive enough to think that you would get 0%. This world, unfortunately, is changing. Churches are changing. Over 150 times in the Scripture, God tells us to remember. At times, He tells us to put up stones. At other times, He says to keep a feast to remember. At other times, He just says to remember these words. And by the way, all those things are important. Now, why did God tell us repeatedly to remember things in different ways? And the sad answer is this, because God expected us to forget. That's why He had us put up memorials and said to remember these words and these sayings, to keep these feasts for the Jews, etc. Because He expected men to forget. And did they? Yes. Still we forget. It's sad today how much we do forget the things that are important. I had a couple recently. They came in, a husband and wife, and they were heading towards divorce. And I didn't know them. They didn't know me. They were referred to me, and they sat in the office, and I was speaking to them, trying to give them some counsel. Boy, they did not like each other. they were at it, all right? And I stopped them, and I said, you know what? At one time, there was something about each other that you were madly in love with. And they both quit arguing, and they sit there, and they both smiled. Boy, it's easy to forget, isn't it? It's easy to get so blinded by things. That's why God told Israel that they should never forget when God took them out of Egypt, and He set up the Passover and different ways to remember that. You say, well, of course they never forget. Don't you remember what God did in those plagues and the Red Sea being divided? It wasn't months and they forgot. When they crossed into Israel finally after 40 years in the wilderness, and as the Jordan River was flooded over, and as they approached the Jordan River, the priests were carrying the ark, and when their foot began to lay down upon the waters divided and all of Israel walked across on dry land. That would be amazing to see. He said, well, they would never forget that. God said, Joshua, while the waters are separated, would you put 12 stones out? Because they're going to forget. And they did. They forgot. Didn't change the fact that they were in the promised land, but they forgot. When the ark was taken by the Philistines, what a dark time in Israel that was. And God worked some miraculous events. And finally the ark was pretty much hand-delivered back to Israel. And God said, wait, put up a memorial so that you never forget what your God did. And they put up a memorial. And then they forgot. Men and women stand in front of each other at an altar to get married. They make covenant to each other and they make a promise, pledge their love. And then they put on a memorial. Yeah, memorial to remind themselves every day. So why would we need to do that? Because it's sad how much... I'm not saying you forget that you're married, all right? But we need a reminder to remember the covenant of our marriage and the promises of our marriage. If you're like me this week was the unfortunate anniversary of the 9/11 attacks in New York. And you saw them just like I did on the news, on billboards, all over the internet. Never forget. But they will. They will. In the same way that Pearl Harbor will be a day that will always live in infamy, but most kids today don't even know what happened. We forget. Now, all those things important and what they are, but none of those things compare to the greatness of our salvation. Amen. None of those things. How wonderful and probably the most esteemed thing I can give you is the covenant relationship between a husband and a wife, and what a wonderful thing that is. But even that is nothing compared to how great our salvation is. Our salvation is so wonderful, is it not? You ought to be excited about being saved. Amen. Some of you need to remind yourself you're not excited because you've forgotten just what God saved you from. You have forgotten what it costs for your salvation. If we truly were remembering and understood like we should where we would be tonight if it weren't for God and our salvation. If we understood that probably most of us would be in hell tonight if it weren't for salvation. If we understood what Jesus went through so we could be saved, none of us would be able to sit here and say, yeah, salvation's good. You have a hard time containing us. We get to go to heaven someday because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen! You ought to be excited about those things. If you can't get excited, there's something bad wrong, and what you need is tonight to remember. Because we have forgotten. The Bible says here, even salvation, how great it is, and without a doubt, salvation is so wonderful, is it not? And the Lord said this, this do, in remembrance. Why did he say that? Why, when he instituted there in Luke the Lord's Supper, did he say, this do in remembrance? Why did Paul remind the church that as often as we do this in remembrance? Because here's the sad fact. We forget. Now don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that I or Shane Davis or Jake Harkins or Ezra sitting in the back. I'm not saying that we forget that we're saved. I know I'm saved. Brother Scott knows he's saved. But me and Brother Scott both are guilty of this. We at times forget just how precious our salvation is. And we forget at times just what it costs for our salvation. So the Lord, knowing me and Scott and everybody else, said, when you come together and you do this, remember. Well, what are we remembering? As we observe this tonight, what are we remembering? We are remembering, number one, Christ's sacrifice. Look in 1 Corinthians 11. It says, when he had given thanks, he broke it. And said, take, eat. This is my body. There at the end of verse number 23, he took that bread. This bread that we will have tonight. The last year or so, year and a half, I will take the time to, and I went over this with the church, and make the bread for the supper tonight. Today, made the bread. Hope walked in the kitchen. She said, can I help you? And I said, yes. It was just me and Hope there in the kitchen. And Basically, she just stood there and watched. But I took it as an opportunity because this is why we observe tonight. I said, Hope. And I took the flower. And I said, Hope, I said, you know what this represents? She's looking at me. I said, this represents the Lord. I said, He's the bread of life. The Bible says once you eat of Him, you'll never hunger again. I said, but you know how you get flour, Hope? I said, they have to take that wheat and they have to crush it. And it's ground. And it's beaten. And that's what Jesus would do for us. He would come to this earth and He'd be beaten. People would walk up to Him, man, and punch Him in the face. Blindfold Him and hit Him on the head. Say, if you're God, who hit you? Believe me, you could have told them. Yeah. And you could have told them their grandfather and their great-grandfather and their great-grandfather times 100. You could have told them the day they were born and how many hairs were on their head.
Yeah. Right.
But He opened not His mouth.
Yeah.
I said, then Hope, I said, you take the water. I poured the water in. I said, the water represents that Christ, when we believe in Him, He cleanses us from all of our sin.
Yeah.
The water is used for cleansing. I poured the water in. Then I took the olive oil. I said, oil, Hope, represents in the Bible an anointing. The prophet, the priest, and the king would be anointed in the Word of God. And when Jesus Christ came, He came as prophet, priest, and king. The anointing would be set apart. Someone who was set apart, or even an instrument that was set apart, was anointed with oil. And when Jesus came, He stood apart from everyone else. Then I took the salt. And I put some salt in there. I said, Hope, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's just like salt. And that salt preserves things. And salt makes things better. I said, Hope, when you get saved, God just makes everything better in your life. And I took the honey. Put just a drop of honey in, as the Jews would. And I said, this also represents Jesus. Because He is so sweet. The Lord Jesus Christ is so wonderful. And then we took that and mixed those things together. I pulled it out. And I began to knead it. Twist it, crush it, fold it. I said, Hope, when Jesus came, this is what man did to Him. God allowed man to handle Him. He's God. Man's dirt. But He let man. Folded it, kneaded it, pressed it. And I made this ball of the dough. I took out a big old knife. I said, then Hope, you know what? Jesus allowed Himself to be crucified for you and I. I pressed that knife into the dough. And I separated it first into two pieces. When He came, He was all God, and He is all man. The perfect sacrifice. I took each of those pieces, and I cut it into threes. Because He is God. And I thought of the Trinity with God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, which, by the way, all three work for our salvation. I did the same to the other side, and I ended up with 6 little balls of dough. And I didn't tell her this because it... But that's just the way the Jews would do it. And I just couldn't help but think, and I am not saying this is... 6 always represents man in the Bible. And he did all this for you and I. And I took that and I pressed it out, rolled it out, again telling her how Christ was laid down his life for us and sacrificed. And then I did the so important step to do. I laid it there on a tray. And this was Hope's job. And Grace helped her out today. You have to take an object. You must repeatedly pierce the dough. And it may not sound like much to you, but when you're with, you're standing there and you're picturing what this represents, and then you're the one piercing this dough. So why do you do that? Because if you don't, you know what happens to it? It puffs up. If you didn't pierce it, it would puff up. Christ loved us so much, being in the form of God, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the fashion of man. And being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself. Became obedient unto death. Christ would not be puffed up, although he's worthy of all honor. But he humbled himself. And just as Hope and Grace began to pierce that bread repeatedly over and over and over again, Jesus died. He died for you and my sin. He was pierced for us. Then I took that after it was pierced and I put it to the fire. To represent the wrath of God. It was removed, taken, this evening before brought over here. One more picture. It's taken in the hands and broken. And the Lord said, every time you take this, and you need to do this, remember. 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 This body was broken for you. And then he took the cup. He said, this cup is the New Testament. My blood. This cup. Make no mistake. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that it was used as wine in this case. You'll never find the Lord's Supper and wine used in the Scriptures. It was the fruit of the vine. The Lord would, by the way, never, because there is a curse in Scriptures for anyone who would put strong drink to their neighbor's lips. There's a curse in Scripture for that. So if Jesus put strong drink and handed it to his disciples, then he has to curse himself. All of that is a bunch of junk, because the Lord would never do that. So we know it was the fruit of the vine. Why the fruit of the vine? Because one, the color represent the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second, it's how that fruit of the vine is made. Those grapes, and it's a picture you just have to, in your head, you in your mind's eye right now, church member, take those grapes in your hand and you make that juice. You have to crush, press. And while I do not make the grape juice for the Lord's Supper, in an attempt about a year ago to go through that process, I would just never forget it. When you take that and you crush it in your hand, and it strolls down in your hand and your arm. And then when you're finished and you look at your hands, His blood was shed for you and me. Amen. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the book of Hebrews says, is still on the mercy seat speaking on our behalf. When the old accuser comes, and he does, and he says, "Oh, Doug Wilson, do you see what he's done? He doesn't deserve salvation." The Lord Jesus says, "No, he's covered in the blood, and the blood is still there speaking on his behalf."
Amen.
We're thankful that his blood was shed. He did that to him. So Christ said, when you come to this table, remember. Remember what? Remember a sacrifice. As you take that broken bread, remember what how he laid down his body for you and I. As you take that cup, remember his blood that was shed for us. I think, secondly, Christ said, remember, because we need to remember Christ's love. We just covered how that He laid down His life for us. In John chapter 15 and verse number 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. I know it's a saying, but it's true. When He was on the cross, it were not the nails that held Him there. It was His love for you and I. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. 1 John, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. We are greatly loved by God. Loved so much. The Lord Jesus Christ loves us and He gave Himself for us. It's sad, isn't it? Isn't it sad that we have to be reminded that He loves us? But we all do. Our flesh wants to blind us from that. The devil's lies want to keep you from that. And I've said this before, and some people always look at me like, you know, oh, of course, and others, you can see that they're hurting when I say this. You need to tell yourself over and over again, God loves me. Because He does. The Lord loves you so much that He gave Himself. I like where it says there. Look at verse number 24. When He had given thanks, He brake it and said, "Take ye, this is My body, which is broken." Would you read those next two words out loud, please? Isn't that great? His body was broken. Everybody look at me now. For you. Isn't that great? For you. Amen. For you, Sean Pendleton. For you, Mom. For you, Ken Bird. For you, Mrs. Rice. For you. How could you not leave rejoicing tonight? For you. When Christ went to the cross, He did it for you. When He did not open His mouth and took all that man was pouring out at Him, He did that for you. When they mocked Him and smacked Him in the face and struck Him on the head blindfolded and they pressed crown of thorns into His head, He did that for you. It's something when you say He died for the sins of the world. Amen. He died for all those who are lost. Amen. But I think the devil tries to blind us that He did that for me. He did that for you. Now, why would He do that for you? Because He loves you. God loves you. Amen. If you don't get excited about that, it's because you've forgotten what you are. You and me are wicked flesh. You and me, we at our very best are sinners. You and I do not deserve all the riches of heaven, but we get the riches of heaven because He loves us. Christ said, remember. Remember the sacrifice. Remember my love. And remember, verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come.
Yeah.
Remember. Everybody look at me. Remember. He's coming back. He's coming back. Say, how often are we going to keep this Lord's Supper until He comes and takes us out of here? And every time we take it, it's a remembrance. Guess what? He is coming back. You may come tonight with a lot of burdens on your heart and maybe impossible situations in front of you. And God says tonight, I know. But don't worry. I'm coming back. There may be all kinds of things that we face tonight and heartaches, but God says, hey, I'm coming back. Every time we take this supper, it's a reminder. Jesus is coming back. You know what the sad part is about all this? Is that we need reminded. Some Christians today have become so frustrated in life, or so maybe upset at a person, that they've quit. Because they forgot. You know what it's impossible to do? Brother Sweetland, it's impossible to have fresh in your mind the sacrifice of God and the love of God for you and the fact that He could come back tonight and quit on God.
Yeah.
You can't. Matter of fact, you'd be hard-pressed leaving here mad at somebody. You have an awful hard time leaving here thinking, woe is me, my life is over. Nothing good ever happens to me. You've forgotten. That's the saddest part to me, is that God knew that Travis Burke needed reminded. What a shame. But I do. The fact is, we all need reminded. So as we take this supper tonight, would you remember what God wants you to remember? As you hold that bread and you drink that cup, the great sacrifice that Christ made for you. As you hold it in your hand, remember, it's for you. The great love that He has. And as you hear all of them little cups being placed in those little things in front of you, when it's over, and we stand to sing a song together and head out to our cars, and you look up in the sky, do not forget, He is coming.
Amen.
And it could be tonight. Father, I pray that You take this moment of invitation. Lord, we needed a reminder tonight. Father, I pray, God, forgive me to where we need reminding. We all do. We get really busy in life. We forget these things. We even, as Brother Sleep preached great on Thursday, we get busy doing good things.